Good morning, Rock Bible Church. I do apologize for interrupting all your conversations. No, I love that you follow the Lord in obedience to fellowship. That's good. That's why we're partly why we're here. Denise, do me a favor. Show me that plot of land for a second. This always messes me up. And I'm going to stand there. Who wants to come stand with me? Because here's the thing. You see that camera angle? It's not going to last very long. In fact, in a few weeks, when you try to take that picture, there'll be no view. There's a big old wall, roof, windows. And those of us that stand there, we're going to do this. Here's your house. Move out of that jalopy. Here's your house. There's nothing like it on the planet. There's nothing like standing right there when you jack their view from the street and you hand them a key. God be with you. I become a blubbering mess every single time. I can't handle it. Praise the Lord. It's never too late. We've been known to just grab people from their house as we're driving out of town and throw them in the van. If you want to go, come talk to me. Okay? I need at least one more guy or gal. All right? Doug and I don't want to go by ourselves. All right? Doug's going to be there. It's going to be awesome. Okay. So pray about it. And here's the thing. Last week we talked about it. You could be A part, you could C part, you could D part, or what was the one, the second one that we missed? You could be part of what he's doing. Now, some of you have work you can't get off. Some of you, physical limitations. Some of you, little physical limitations. And you can't do it. I get it. Be part. Pray for us. All right? That's not easy. Okay? Some of you need to pray for the idea that maybe you need to stay home. Because that's not easy. Right? Some of you can't do it. But there's little things that you can donate to. You can show up at a dinner. You can donate an item. You could bid on an item. Whatever it is. At least come and eat a taco and see the story and know how to pray. Amen? Amen. Did I do enough? Everybody say yes?
Yes.
Okay, good deal. Tomorrow night, men's group, 7 o'clock, right out back. Would love for you to be there because I'm going to share a little bit more about what just happened. I woke up in Santa Cruz, well, SoCal, this morning and drove up here to be back with you.
Thank you.
They love you so much, right? And we, seven of us went down, and unbelievable. In fact, it was so good. We're going to do it again in September. Okay. We're done waiting a year. We're going to go back in September. So I'm going to give you a date soon. You're going to get your phones out and save it and the whole thing. Wives, you're going to help me. Okay. Cause I'm going to kidnap your husbands for a while and we're going to go down there. We're going to do a work project. I'll tell you more about it later. What we probably won't do in September is what we did yesterday. Bam. Oh! Do you know how cold it was in Santa Cruz?
It was freezing.
Yesterday, all of us out into the ocean, jumping in, doing something that's discomfortable, against your will. No, we got dissed. It was discomfortable, okay? And talked about the idea, you got choices. And as men, we like to choose the easy, you know, like stay home. Ooh, did that hurt a little bit? Sometimes you got to make the difficult choice and be uncomfortable and make an investment and do what you can because there's always a choice. And Mark did a thing on forks. There's always a fork. You go this way, you go that way. And by the way, I will never look at the game of chess the same again. Never. He did a thing on chess, and If you missed it, you missed it. I'm sorry. Show up and you'll get, you won't miss stuff anymore. Okay. But it's unbelievable. It changed. I'm a chess guy and he taught me stuff and then made an analogy to life. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So be praying for the guys. The rest of them are still there. They just had breakfast and they're doing their Sunday lesson with Mark right now. And then they'll be back this afternoon. Amen. Yeah. So there you go. And then tomorrow night, if you're interested, men's group, 7 o'clock, right out behind here. We're going to have a great old time. All right. We ready? Okay. We're continuing our series in the book of Luke, from Luke's eyes to yours to ours. And we're finishing chapter 8. This is a famous story. It's one of the greatest. Some of you really love this story, and all of you are going to love it a smidge more before you leave today. You ready? You ready? Yes. No, you're not. You didn't pray yet. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for so many great accounts this morning. I mean, just starting with what we get to sing, the truths about you, the confidence we can have in you. And then, Lord, the different ways that we're trying to reach our kids, reach our men. Lord, even new studies for the women. There's so many different ways that we can pursue you. I pray that you would see that in the passage this morning. Be with our time. May it inspire us in group ways, but specifically as well, Lord, as individuals, that we might know you better, that we might have more intimacy with you. And through that experience, be a witness and example to those around us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, faith, fear, feet, and food. It's a lot of words that start with F. We're going to cover all of them. We're going to have a bunch of fun. This is a story. It's supposed to be a story, and then another story interrupts. So there's really two stories. Or is there one story? Let's not do that argument. Let's just jump in. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Jesus' popularity, the word on the street, word of mouth, their cheap version of social media had spread. Everybody knew. Right, John the Baptist had done this big thing. Hey, he's coming. And then he's like, oh, that's him. And now Jesus is starting to heal people and teach things. And hey, have you heard of this guy, Jesus of Nazareth? Let's go find him. Let's see. Let's see if it's real. So there's a bunch of people trying to find him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. So, Jew or Gentile? Okay, ruler of the synagogue. That's where they worship. Okay. He knows a little, knows a lot. Well said, smart guy. Falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. This is the ruler. Why would a ruler fall at someone else's feet? About to find out. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. What did ruler run into? He ran into people. Okay, but what's the situation? What's the scenario going on here? Because it's something that we run into all the time. And he's hitting it smack dab in the face. Death? Help? Why? Why do we all run into the need for help? Because we all come across situations that are what? Hard? Difficult? Mission? Impossible. Short version, quick, easy, beyond us. We run into things that are beyond us. Sometimes it's our own family. Sometimes it's our body. Sometimes it's our thinking. Sometimes it's this thing in here gets twisted up. And then it's like, what do I do? I love the line from this one current artist. He's like into donuts, I think. He really likes jelly rolls. I only talk to God when I need a favor. That's brilliant about humanity. I only talk to God when I need a favor. Why is that brilliant? Because it's true. Is it good? No, but it is true. The brilliance is in the truth of it. But the next line is, and God, I really need a favor. What's he saying? I've been wrong. I know it now. And I'm finally talking to you. I love that. It's one of the greatest equations. It's the same process synagogue ruler went through. This is beyond me. I need help. There's something about you. Everybody's talking. Yet to see it myself, but whatever it is, that thing you do, come do it at my place. My daughter. This guy's having a crisis of faith, and he'll try anything. And Jesus went. Why do we love that three-word statement? Why do we love that he comes, falls at his feet, probably begging? We've seen that a bunch of times in the last passage. What's Jesus' response? Well, did you give offerings in the synagogue? Or, you know, where do you stand on this? Is there any hesitation for Jesus? What's his heart? Desire. I love that Jesus is really good at and likes to say, okay. Yes. And Jesus went. And the people pressed around him. No, I like to, I'm going to read into this right now. And this is just Scotty being Scotty, okay? I bet that he led the charge and didn't need directions. He knew where the house was. Why? Because he's Jesus, right? I would love to see the story between when they met and when they got to the house, like walking down the road, and the ruler's like, hey, up here, we're gonna turn right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're going to pass three houses and then turn left, and then we're going to be at your house. I'm hoping that's how it went, okay? We're going to step out of Scotty being Scotty. We're going to go back to the passage. I just think that's a great way for us to think about it. And there was a woman, verse 43, there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. How old's the daughter?
12.
Ooh. This guy's had a kid for 12 years. She not only has been sick for 12 years, hasn't been able to have a daughter for 12 years. There's a weird symmetry thing going on there that I think I'll understand when I get to heaven. But man, those are too identical to just be coincidence. Watch what happens. She had spent all her living on physicians. She could not be healed by anyone. She could not be healed by any. From Luke's eyes to ours, that's a human statement. She could not be healed by anyone. Is that true? Is that true? No. We come up with false truths. And we cement them in our head. You know, God would never. You know, if they really believe, they would. We make up stuff. And look, it got even into the author, the writer of the gospel. Now, I know Luke knew that Jesus could heal. But he says it that way because he knows that's how we think. And that's where our heart goes. And I think this brings us to a great question. What is your view of Jesus' agency? Jesus is the head of an agency? What's the name of that agency? No. We're talking about personal ability, right? What we love about our kids is we start to raise them They get more agency. They tie their shoes for the first time. We're going out to dinner. Like, this is the best, right? They learn to go to the bathroom on their own. They dress themselves on their own. Later, they learn to shave on their own. They learn to drive. They're building their agency, what they are capable of. I want to ask you, what is your view of Jesus's agency? Because Luke, through his eyes, has a very different view of what Jesus is capable of. And the ruler, through his eyes, is hoping, wondering, wanting to know, is there agency that can solve the things that are beyond me? Love that. Couldn't be healed by anyone. Hold on a second. Check that. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately, her discharge of blood ceased. Man, that's a lot of words. What's the short version of? Immediately after touching the fringe, what happened?
Healed.
I mean, you could throw "she was healed" in there. I mean, it's more accurate, whatever. But the really short, for those of us that are lazy, healed. What's your view of his agency? She never touched him. She touched his clothes. Now, I've figured out what my clothes do. It goes downhill. They get dirty, they get stinky, they fall apart, whatever. My clothes are valuable for a short minute just to keep me covered. Okay? And the more I cover, the better. It's good for your eyes. There's something about Jesus that is so beyond us that even his clothes, by osmosis, do things we can never imagine. Which makes no sense because, I mean, I love a lot of people, like one of them sitting right up here in the front row, whatever. I never think to myself, wow, she's so great. I just want to touch her jacket. What? Scott, you need some medication? But this lady, seeing Jesus going by, she heard everybody's talking about it in the crowd. Everybody, we've established this. Hey, that's Jesus. She thought to her, well, let's find out. She came behind him, touched the fringe of a garment, and immediately she was healed. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? Is Jesus confused? Nobody touched you. They touched your clothes. We're going to tie these together here in a second, right? When all denied it, Peter said, Peter's the practical guy, the pragmatist, right? Master, the crowds are surrounding you and are pressing in on you. What's he saying? You're getting bumped by everybody in this crowd. You've been touched 50 times or more. Well, I don't understand the question. Now, let's say we believe that's true. Bunch of people, right? When Doug and I, when we walk places, we run into each other all the time. We're looking at stuff, distracted. Oh, boom. Hey, sorry. You know, tripping each other. I mean, it just happens. Let's say it actually happened. Why is this one different? This one touch is different. Jesus said, verse 46, but someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. No, we love this. One, he's powerful. Two, he's paying attention. I mean, if I'm signing up for a God, I want one powerful and paying attention. I want nice in there too, or kind. And we're going to see that. When the woman saw that she was not hidden, oh no, I'm getting outed. She came trembling and falling down before him. Does this sound familiar? Weird. Did we hear that before? We did right at the beginning, right? Remember the synagogue ruler fell down at his feet? Now we have lady falling down at his feet. Ooh. If you get your outline out. Now you know why feet is in the title. Okay? She wasn't hidden. It's going to come out. I better confess. Falling down, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him. And how she had been immediately healed. Shouldn't it say that she just confessed in the presence of all of you that she had touched Jesus? Or what she had done? Instead of that, there's this other little weird word, little three. Why? It plays to purpose. It draws attention away from action. Hey, did you make an attempt? Did you make the spaghetti? I did. Well, it's horrible. I wouldn't feed it to my dog. But, or and, I'm really happy that you tried. What's better? Making a good spaghetti or trying to do spaghetti? The purpose behind it is more important. Now we understand why 50 people may have touched him, bumped into him, whatever. Got the dust of his sandal flicked off and hit their sandal. I mean, that would have been a pretty cool one to see if somebody got healed that way. And yet only one of them get healed. Why? Because there was a purpose behind that touch rather than accidental. I love that. You know, when I'm walking a crowd and somebody bumps into me, where do I go? Where do I go? Yeah, no, I'm scared of Doug a little bit. Somebody bumps into me, where do I go? This was a question at men's retreat, by the way, kind of, in a different way. Where do I go when somebody bumps into me? I go right here. Why? Did he do it on or was it I go here right away. Why? Because there's a different motivation behind the action. If it's on purpose or if it's accidental. Now, here's where I try to go. Scott, how accidental are you? I'm very accidental. Okay, Scotty, remember that because most people are as well. Let's default to they did it on accident. Unless they get in your face and start swearing at you. Then you know they did it on purpose. And you're in a different game. You're in the walk away game. Right? There's a purpose. There's a why behind it. Is there a why, or better, what are the whys behind your relationship with the Lord? What are the whys behind what you pray for and the whys behind the stuff you fail to pray for? You have preconceived notions that you come up with just like everybody else? And what are they? Are they true or are they good? Ooh. Love that. He said to her, verse 48, daughter, I would have said, lady, woman, or I would have called her like my alma mater. Hey, you, Hayward University. He says, family member, established relationship person. Whoa. What has she done? She touched his jacket. And she's immediately in the family. Which one do you like better, healed or family? Ooh, don't answer that question. I like both, but in this one I'd make you choose. You're always playing difficult. What is? Okay, you're not going to Mexico no more. Just kidding. Joking. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Well, that's a contradiction. He just said a few sentences ago, I felt the power go out from me. It was the power that healed, or was it her faith that healed? Because we have both statements now. Which one is it? Okay. It's both. And we love that because it means we get an active role in our relationship with the Lord. And the intention behind when we act matters. I mean, the sarcastic Scotty would say, come on, lady, you jacked it up. All you had to go is a little bit farther, you would have actually touched him. You quit at the jacket? Come on. I'd be thinking wrong. Because that's action-based. What do you mean you haven't memorized the whole book of James yet? What's wrong with you? I know people who have memorized massive swaths of scripture. And I'm waiting to see if it ever pays off, if you know what I mean. I would like to spend my time somewhere else than around them. Because they got actions and they're missing the purpose. Lady, you tried to touch me with purpose. And in so many ways, you've failed by human standards. You are an absolute champion. You won the title. How great is that? Never played before, and you win the championship. Dave, never played chess before. Won the tournament this weekend. What? I want that kind of relationship with the Lord. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. I just got healed and in the family. How amazing. Now, while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and fell at Jesus' feet. Is that what it says? No, it's missing. Know that it's missing. It's important. Because we're going to see a different purpose behind this person. Your daughter's dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. It's over. True? No. Good? No? This is neither true nor good. Do you know that you come to decision on things, that it's neither true nor good. God can do all things, and when we assume the worst, that's bad. Instead, we should have, what's the other F word that's not on the title? Faith. There's another word very similar, starts with B. Belief or believe. Similar, kind of different, starts with H, four letters. Rhymes with dope. Hope. Still speaking, says, hey, it's over. Verse 50. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him. Do not fear. Where do we get fear in the title? Right there. Only believe. Where do we get faith in the title? And she will be good and true. She'll be well. She'll be healed. Only believe and you'll be wrong. Do you know that one of the best prayers you can say to God? Hey God, I hope I'm wrong. Make me wrong, God. What a great prayer would that be? You're fighting with your wife, and you know it's got to be her. It's got to be her. Hey, Lord, show me I'm wrong. It works every time. Scotty, you're off. Switch it up. What are you asking for? What's the purpose behind? Are you fighting just to fight? I mean, so many great things that come out of us asking what is actually true, what is actually good, and how do I get there? Rather than doubting, like, servant guy or acquaintance dude who shows up. In fact, poor dude, he's so negative. He never gets named. Love that. He's nameless, dude. Only believe and she will be well, verse 51. And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him. There could have been a period right there. If there was a period right there, it means that God would act alone and he gets all the credit. God puts a comma right there and says, I want to work in teams. I want to be God with us. We sang it last week. Lord, come have your way among us. We have a God among us. He says, all right, Peter, John, James, come here. Don't say nothing. Just come inside. And father and the mother. Right? Are we there? Father and mother of the child. No, go back. Spoiling it. Why bring in those five people? Are they contributing something? There's a lot of stories where Jesus will heal people and he takes everybody out of the room. There's stories about Peter in the book of Acts where he goes to heal somebody, he takes most everybody out of the room. What's going on there? We're taking doubt out of the room. We're only taking people that really have purpose behind why they're acting. Or he's dragging people in the room. Hey, Peter, James, and John, you're knuckleheads. And it's actually going to get worse before it gets better. You're going to deny me three times. You guys are going to sit like deaf mutes and do nothing. And I'm going to die on my own. But I want you to see this because I need you to get to the point where you get purpose behind your actions when you do things. So come here. I want to show you something no one else gets to see. Mom, Dad, you care more than anybody on the planet. Except for me. Jesus speaking. Come watch this. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, do not weep. She's not dead. She's taking a nap. True? Can't you just ask questions where the answer is Jesus? The answer is Jesus right here. Does Jesus get to decide what's true? Yes. Could she have been dead and he just decides, yeah, no, I'm going to call her not dead. And so she wasn't actually dead. And I'm going to go back in time and change what was going on. Time is his construct. All of matter is his construct. Our thinking is his construct. There are no limits to what he can do. We see it throughout scripture. And this, when you're a 13-year-old boy and you read it in youth group, sitting on the back of a chair in Castro Valley in the youth building at Neighborhood Church Castro Valley, you go, Jesus is not very smart. He doesn't know that she's dead. Why would he say she's sleeping? Because 13-year-old boys are still coming up with truths that are false and think good things are bad because they might be wrong, and their thinking needs to change. Their heart needs to change. I love that there are no limitations to what Jesus can do. He even said it one time. Someone came up to him and said, you know, Jesus, if you can. And his response, first thing he said is, if I can, I don't understand the question. This came up at men's group as well. This weekend, men's retreat, I should say. What do you say, Scott and Mark, when somebody says that God, blah, 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 implying can't? It's real simple. Anytime anybody says God can't, it doesn't matter what's said after that, the discussion's over. The equation's done. The other side of the equal signs is zero. There's nothing to find on that side of the equation because you just crushed his agency? Or did you? Can you crush his agency? Can his agency be crushed? No. You just said false and bad and had no idea. Because we run to doubt. We love doubt because doubt can make me lazy. I don't have to do anything. If I can just doubt and I can find a whole bunch of people who will join that camp and we can go out to eat together, it'll be great. We don't have to do a thing. I could stay home and let other people do it. No. We got to get to can. Can God put an equal sign on? Can God put an equal sign on that? Do you know what happens on this side of the equation? Do you know how many answers there are? Limitless. And some people forget it. We've seen those people in this passage. Some people say, no, there's some great things on the other side of can God. They laughed at him. Knowing that she was dead. True? They laughed at him because they knew she was dead. True? Was true. Still true? No? Good or bad? It's bad. It's a statement based in doubt. The purpose behind it is, oh yeah, prove it. But taking her by the hand, he called saying, child, arise. And watch this. Not she came back to life. Not she was healed. Not she got better. Not she got up. But what? Her spirit returned. What an amazing way to say it. Because now you ask me, was she dead? I say, yeah. Why? Because the spirit was gone. And she says, yeah, but guess who's in charge of the spirit? Me and the spirit, we dance. We go everywhere we want. We even revisit things. I pray, God, revisit those who have lost your spirit. Spirit returned. She got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. This is practical Scotty coming out. Why have her eat something right there in front of all those people? Proof? She must be alive because now she's eating. How great is that? If you look at your outline now, you know why the word food is on there. Her parents, verse 56, her parents were amazed. And he charged them to tell no one what happened. What is going on? Jesus says in other places, it's not my time yet. I let you guys see this because I need you to see it for your experience. I'm going to give other people other experiences. There's probably other reasons behind it. Does it tell us why he said specifically not to share it with anybody? It does not. It fails to tell us. So we're going to spend very little time on this. We are going to spend time on the rest of what was revealed. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. What happened here? Because we've got fear and faith. Why are those together on there? What's the relationship between fear and faith? They're buddies? They're opposites. You're in one camp or another. And watch this one. You can change camps from faith to fear super fast. And then right back again. Sometimes within a sentence. You can be pinball. How good is that for you? It's exhausting is what it is. Seriously, I need to breathe. Fear and faith seem like they're totally opposite. They actually have things in common. Because in this passage, both faith and fear bring people to fall at Jesus' feet. No, is it for different motivation, for different purpose? Absolutely. And here's the thing. That looks bad. Faith, fear and faith both fall at his feet. Wow, amazing. That looks like opposites. Actually, it's the same. Whatever gets you in proximity to Jesus, whatever gets you talking to him, I'm all for it. Wait, you mean I got really sick and now I'm trying to pursue the Lord and you like that, Scott? Yes. Whatever it takes to get your attention. The sooner he gets your attention, the sooner you start an intimate relationship with him, talking to him. He can come in and be like, oh, let's get the Spirit in there. Let's get some healing in there. Let's bring you back to fully functional, and then we're really going to start having fun. Because we've got to get you out of your little spin cycle you're in so we can get you in the dryer, pull you out, and let's use you for something. Fear and faith both fall at his feet. What's the point? Not that you have fear or faith. How can you get to his feet? I still love this idea. If I fall at somebody's feet, I'm in front of them. This is intimate. This is relational. I'm vulnerable. Now we're finally talking. It's amazing. You can do that in relationships too, beyond just Jesus. Amen? Number two. They showed up. They said, you know, kid's dead. Don't trouble him anymore. What were they functioning on? Fear. Never function on fear. Always function on faith. Because if you're functioning on faith, how do you feel about troubling someone? This is what I love about old guys. Old guys will say anything. And people will blow them off like, oh, he's just old. I'm leaning into it. I'm letting all the gray hairs grow out. That's it. Because I can try stuff in faith and have a conversation with somebody and, hey, do you go to church? Have you ever explored your relationship with the Lord? Hey, how can I ask God to bless you today? And see where that conversation goes. Because you got to, when you start functioning on faith, you got to function on faith. Then you're willing to trouble the teacher. Right? Fear says, nah, I can't trouble the teacher. Is that real? It's false. There's a much more fun worry to say false that also starts with F, because today's F word day. Faith, forgiveness, right? I thought that was real, but it's not. It's
fake.
It's fake. Fear of troubling the teacher is fake. It's a false fear. It never existed. It's the null set. It's the set that has nothing in it. It's the null set. I remember learning null set in math, and I was like, do math teachers take English? Because null, what is that? Turns out they take English and knew more than I did. Turns out God knows more than us. And faith knows more than us. And when you let it play out, it plays out. It's amazing. Number three, faith finds a way. Fear finds a way out, right? Oh, no, I can't talk to them. I mean, this current generation, what's the deal? They won't call anybody. Well, I got a problem. Just call them. No, I ain't going to call them. I'm going to send them a text message. What? Text messages don't make sense. They can be taken so many. Just call it. Yeah, but what if they answer? Be finally talking. Faith finds a way. Fear runs. Pansies. Victims. Faith finds a way. To what? This lady was like, I've been bleeding for 12 years. I just got to find a way. And I don't even need to touch him. All I got to do is, what'd she do? What'd she touch? No, it wasn't a robe. I call it a jacket. You might say robe. It starts with F. Touch the fringe. I just got to get close. Faith finds a way to touch the fringe. I'm going to get as close as I can. And when I get stuck, I'll ask Sam. And I'm like, Sam, you ever dealt with this before? Sam, like, yeah. What are you thinking, burglar? Well, I'm glad I talked to Sam. Why did I talk to Sam? Because I had a little faith that I got to start asking some questions, get around some people. Hey, I got to take a team with me. Did you know that in chess, a solo attack with one piece almost always fails? When you go with one piece, you got to have backup. Oh, there's a little glimpse into the men's retreat that you missed. You got to go with a team. You got to have faith that something can happen. How can I get close to Jesus? What do I need to pray about? How can I serve? Have I given anything back? Do I tithe? What do I participate in? Who do I ask for help? There's so many great ways to touch the fringe. Hey, what questions can I ask? Hey, God, what questions should I be asking right now? Could I be asking right now that will put me closer to the path that you want me to be on? What an amazing prayer. Number four, faith. Tell me, man, I have way too much fun up here. Faith is followed. Sally Fizzbomb, good job, Sally. Faith is followed. What's faith followed by? Which title word have we yet to use? Food. I love it. There's a bunch of faith, and what happens at the end? They're eating. There's someone in my house, very close to my age, sleeps very close to me.
Scott, you focus on food a little more than maybe you should.
Are you kidding? It's all throughout Scripture. He spends so many, 3 years with these 12 boys? What did he do at the very end? Hey, guys, go prepare a table. I'm going to show what bread and wine are for. Oh, by the way, I'm going to die. I'm going to come back. Then I'm going to ascend to heaven. And then you're going to go out throughout the whole world. We're going to get a bunch of believers and we're all going to go to heaven. When we get to heaven, what are we going to do? We're going to go sit around a banqueting table feast. You thought food was good here. I mean, I know you went to a men's retreat, but even men's retreat food can't compete with this banqueting table. There's no reason that needed to really be included in the story, except that it really gives a glimpse into the heart and mind of Jesus. Hey, let's solve this. All right, now let me continue to provide for you. Let's do something together. Let's eat. Right? When this is all over, they're finally eating. You know what they're experiencing? Fellowship. And the shortest version of fellowship is three letters. It starts with F too. Starts with F-U. N. Fun. Faith is followed by food and fun. Eventually. Does it take a while to get there? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it takes a while to raise kids. And there's some times that are... Well, let's say the fun is questionable, but you get to places where your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with work, your relationship with your buddies or your girlfriends, would it be true that you can get to a place where your relationship with the Lord is fun? It's working? You get to see things no one else gets to see? You start finding out what truth really is and what good really is. And then let's do that. Wow. We're meant to understand how fear and faith function, and we're meant to get to food and fun. I got two little girls that are doing real well because of faith. They love that. You may not be a little girl. That's not the point. You can have faith. You can ask questions. You can try stuff that makes no sense just to switch up the game. Do you know what that does to a chess match? It throws off the enemy because all their plans go out the door. You should have been there at men's retreat. It was brilliant. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for the lesson that we have that what we do with you actually works. That you are truth. You are good. And you are limitless. Help us in that and help us to know how to pray towards those things. And then, Lord, for those who've never submitted and just said, okay, that's it. I want you from this day forward to cry out and say, okay, Jesus, your Savior and Lord, that's their decision today. Lord, encourage them in that. And if that's you, come talk to us. Come talk to me. We're here to help. The Father, for the offering that we're about to receive, pray that you would bless it. Thank you for those that give. Thank you for guests and visitors. No, this is not directed at you. But Lord, may it be something we do as a family out of faith. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to function in the truth here, amen? And here's the truth you need to understand. Cinco de Mayo this year falls on Taco Tuesday. True story. We're practicing on May 2nd. We're training for Cinco de Mayo Taco Tuesday. Do your friends need to attend this church to be able to come to the Mexico dinner? Do they have to bid? They don't have to. She runs a hard ship. Who could you bring? Let them come have fun. Tease them. Hey, we're training for Cinco de Mayo. Amen? May his agency lead your faith. Amen? Go with him.